Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime.
That's Em, and they're telling our story.
That's Kate, and she's under the influence.
Hell yeah.
Spooktober is among us. It is continuing. Even though I definitely forgot about Spooktober, I started a different story, and then I texted, all in caps, I forgot about Spooktober. I gotta change it. So then I had to start over.
It was unfortunate, but they came back. They did a full pivot and came back with a baller Spooktober story.
A fantastic Spooktober story. Obviously, you guys know what the episode is because of the title. I'm not going to say it, though, because I have a dramatic reveal in the story, even though you guys obviously already know what it is. But I live for the drama.
I live for it. Well, and like, I think this is extra special, and it's not going to give anything away because Em has 28 of them, I'm sure. But they have a tattoo of this case. Not of this case, but of something. Sure, but you know what I mean. Like,
They'll know what you're talking about.
You'll get it.
They know what it is.
We'll post it on our story.
Truly, yeah. I'm going to show you guys my friend's tattoo.
That would be so fun. You should post a picture of the tattoo and just post, like, teaser, guess what episode.
Oh, like, that's such a good idea.
That's so cute.
I'll do that. I'm totally going to do that.
Okay, great.
And that also means good news is that after Spooktober, I already have a story written. Okay, do we have any business or anything?
No, I received a message from Saray this week that said that she listened to our case about the Sodders and Morbid's case about the Sodders. And I was like, oh, what did you think? And she was like, y'all did great, but case fucked up. And I was like, yeah, that's, yeah,
truly. Math
equals, yeah, I'm with it.
Yep.
So once again, Saray is on top of things.
I love that. Thank you, Saray. It made me
laugh, yeah. So.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so.
Okay. So, do you want to just get into it then?
Yeah, we got no more business saying how awesome Spooktober is about to be.
I love Spooktober, and it's about to get even spookier.
And you guys will be proud of us because we have it all planned.
Like, we do. We have it all planned.
All 4 weeks of Spooktober planned.
It's incredible.
I mean, not until like just now, but like, I mean, it's planned. Like, whatever.
Right. We have Spooktober planned. This is the spookiest thing we've ever done. Truly. Having our lives together.
Spooky. And then after that, after Spooktober ends, there's another big surprise coming.
Do I know what it is?
I mean.
Oh, I gotcha. All right. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Okay. So yeah, so lots of fun things happening for Spooktober and for November.
And just excited. In general, yeah, because we found some potential news out for a big one in December. So,
yeah. So watch out for December because we've got a really big one coming soon. So, all right. We're going to go ahead and get started. Trigger warning for this case. There's only, I guess, only one. The only trigger warning, we're going to talk about a bridge collapse. I sent a text to Kate that said, I'm going to do this case. I'm going to make it unbearable for everybody. So here we go.
Buckle
up. Are
you
ready? Okay, picture this. Point Pleasant, West Virginia, November 12th, 1966. It's a crisp autumn day. Nothing's out of the ordinary. Two couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry and Steve and Mary Mallett, are out for a nice drive, just looking at some leaves.
Where are we?
Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
November 12th, 1966, a crisp autumn day.
No, I got that part. I just couldn't remember the town. Okay.
They spot something out of their window.
Are you going to be this narrative the entire time?
Nope, just for about two more sentences.
Great.
And they at first thought it was a really low-flying plane, maybe a paraglider, maybe a really big bird. And
it's a bird.
Gets closer.
It's a plane.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. No. Dun, 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 dun. No.
This thing starts getting closer, and they can finally see what it is. It's a giant man with 10-foot-long wings, gray feathers, glowing red eyes. He follows their car and screamed, it was Mothman.
Ah, that's the case. It's Mothman.
It's Mothman. You guys had no idea. So they described Mothman as, quote, shaped like a man but bigger, maybe 6 or 7 feet tall, and it had big wings folded against its back.
So like a man, but like moth-like?
A bird, though. Exactly.
You're like, picture this. He's a guy, and he's also kind of like a bird. But, like, not like a bird. Like, those dusty little things that come in with the light. And they're like, oh, like
so
a moth.
You get it?
Uh-huh.
They also said that it flew extremely fast, around 100 miles per hour, because this couple was driving and they were going 90 to 95 miles an hour, and Mothman stayed above their car the entire time.
I'm sorry, were there not speed limits in 1966?
Well, I mean, if you saw Mothman, you don't think you would start driving 95 miles an hour?
Honestly, probably
not. I agree.
I'd probably be like, is this it? Is Mothman the way I go?
This is just a little snippet that I took directly from cultofweird.com, and it says, quote, it flew extremely fast, around 100 miles per hour, but seemed clumsy on its feet. It was like a man with wings. It wasn't anything you'd see on TV or in a monster movie. They said it was not like a bat, but more like one would envision an angel, except light gray in color. They noted it seemed to be afraid of their headlights, and they thought it might have been trying to scare them off. This wasn't the first sighting of Mothman. A few days before, in Clendenin, which is probably not how you say that, and also it was 75 miles from Point Pleasant, there were 5 men working in a cemetery, and they were actually digging a grave. And they saw what they described as a giant brown human flying, like it started in a tree and it flew down from the tree and glided right over their heads.
Mothman, why?
Mothman, please stop doing that.
Mothman, you're terrorizing the children. No one's appreciative.
Mothman, stop traumatizing the grave diggers. That same night, the original couples that had seen him that night at around 10:30, Neil Partridge, who was a contractor in the area, reported a very strange thing happening. He lived on a farm. I don't know if it was like an actual farm, but like there were like fields all around his house. And so he was inside watching TV, and then all of a sudden the screen went blank and weird patterns came up on the screen. And then he heard a noise outside that sounded, quote, like a generator winding up. And his German Shepherd, whose name was Bandit, I looked it up, also heard the sound and started and started howling at the door. So the two went outside, and he pointed a flashlight towards the noise and saw two red eyes shine, quote, like bicycle reflectors.
Don't go outside.
And Bandit chased after it because Bandit, like, he was like a protector. He was a German Shepherd. So like, he was very like territorial. Judas, no. Bandit never returned home.
Get the fuck, why would you fucking bring, why would you do that? Why would you attach it? Why would you do that? You tell me his name? Made me fall in love with Bandit?
Yell at Mothman, not me.
I am crying legitimately, and I'm very upset with you.
I'm sorry. So that was now the third.
That probably should have been in the trigger warning.
Well, I never said that he died or anything, just that he didn't come home.
Bandit is missing. Why is
my God
on the news?
Kate, please. Okay, sorry. Trigger warning. Bandit never comes home. Jesus Christ.
Is that so hard?
I guess. So November 16th, Mothman was seen again by a woman named Marcella Bennett. She spotted a red light in the sky, but knew it wasn't an airplane, so she went out to see what it was. And she got in her car and was driving, I believe, to her friend's house. And when she got there, Mothman appeared next to her car. And she said, quote, it seemed as though it had been laying down. It rose up slowly from the ground, a big gray thing, bigger than a man, with terrible glowing eyes. And by the time the police got there, Mothman was gone.
Well, yeah, he's not going to hang out. You just called him ugly and gray. Like, that's rude. I wouldn't say. It's rude.
Don't be rude to Mothman.
Like, you guys are talking a lot of shit. He's just flying, gliding, if you will, trying to make friends. Badly, I'll give him that. But, you know.
Truly. He just wanted to be buddies.
He just wanted to hang out. Your car seemed pretty.
And then two firemen also reported seeing him and just described him as a large bird with red eyes. Mothman sightings continue for the next 13 months and over 100 separate people reported seeing him. And then I have a description of like pretty in detail of what they thought Mothman looked like. And it was so, this little bit was so funny that I stole it directly from mythicalcreaturesguide.com. And it says, according to their reports, the creature stood between 5 and 7 feet tall, was wider than a man, and shuffled on human-like legs. Its eyes were set near the top of its shoulders and had bat-like wings that glided rather than flapped when it flew. Strangely, though, it was able to ascend straight up like a helicopter. Witnesses also described its murky skin as being either gray or brown, and it emitted a humming sound when it flew. The Mothman was apparently incapable of speech and gave off a screeching sound.
The fact that this wasn't called Batman was by a hair.
I love how he was incapable of speech.
They're like, that well, he's a monster. Yeah, I was like, I'd be more freaked out if he looked at me and was like, I am Mothman. He like gets close. He's like, I actually don't like it when they call me that. I just go by Andrew, but yeah.
Actually, my name's Andrew. And then Mrs. Bennett from before stated that it sounded like a woman screaming, which is also what mountain lions sound like, by the way.
Well, that's just what Andrew sounds like.
Sorry, Andrew. I think
this episode, Andrew the Mothman.
I obviously am in love with Mothman. He lives on my arm.
Yeah, I get it.
I should label him Andrew, just right underneath his legs.
I'll tattoo it on you. Don't worry.
Thank you. So one night in January of 1967, over 500 reports came in about a series of strange lights in the area, and many people attributed it to the boy. They were like, that's Mothman.
I'm sorry, is he now Moth Boy?
I call him the boy multiple times in this.
My thing is, hear me out here. What I'm loving in this is imagining that someone's got like one of those big like stadium lights that they used to call Batman, and they like throw it up and Mothman like hits a window and he's like, oh shit, do you see that light?
John Neal, who is the writer of the Mothman Prophecies, was in the area around November 19th, 1967 to interview people who had seen Mothman. And a woman named Mary, who was a local newspaper reporter, told John, quote, I had a terrible nightmare. There were a lot of people drowning in the river and Christmas packages were floating everywhere in the water. It's like something awful is going to happen. And multiple people in the town also reported having those kind of dreams.
Mothman haunts Christmas, everybody.
How the Mothman stole Christmas.
He's actually the new Krampus.
So after that was reported, so then December 15th, a month after that conversation took place in 1967, the Silver Bridge collapsed in Point Pleasant. The bridge was over the Ohio River and connected Point Pleasant, West Virginia to Galapagos. How did you say it?
You did it.
I did it? Ohio. I don't think that's correct. It might be correct. The Silver Bridge was built in 1928 and was an I-bar chain suspension bridge. Those words mean nothing to me, but...
Nor I.
Good. These kinds of bridge were built using bar links, using rows of 4 to 6 bars. But that's how like most suspension bridges were built, that were using those I-bars. But on the Silver Bridge, it only had rows of 2 bars instead of 4 to 6.
Wow.
Which meant that if like
revolutionary,
but like if that means that if one breaks, there's only one more that it's relying on, like instead of having 3 to 5 bars,
you could got it so the like weight, one too many one. Mothmen could like bring it down.
Precisely. Yeah,
got it.
At this point the bridge was over 40 years old, and according to many resources, the bridge was not well maintained and had not been built to withstand high traffic.
We're blaming Mothman still.
We're not blaming Mothman on anything.
Okay, well, you mentioned this bridge, and we're talking about Mothman, so you can see where I've maybe connected some dots.
Give me a minute. Mothman has done nothing wrong.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pro-Mothman.
Pro-Mothman. This pod is pro-Mothman. Mothman has done nothing wrong.
Give me a minute. We stand with you.
We stand with you, Andrew. Give me a minute. Around 5:05, there was bumper-to-bumper traffic going over the bridge. Christmas shoppers were on their way home, and there were 31 vehicles on the bridge all at once. I know, exactly. And survivor Howard Boggs recalls his wife, who actually died in the collapse, asking, quote, what will we do if this thing breaks? The bridge collapsed, and all 31 vehicles fall into the 40-degree river below. And one eyewitness said that the sound of the collapse was like a shotgun. Charlene Wood, who was just barely on the bridge when it started to shake, threw her car in reverse and backed up and was able to just barely get back onto land. And less than a minute after she was fully on land, the whole bridge collapsed. And she said, quote, it was like someone had lined up dominoes. I could see car lights flashing as they were tumbling into the water. The car in front of me went in, then there was silence.
Holy, what the fuck? I just went, huh. Like,
Like, yeah, it's rough, man. People nearby were going into the river to help pull out survivors, and rescuers were on the scene within minutes. People who were finally able to break out of their cars were holding on to debris in the river, waiting to get rescued. And some were in the water for over 15 minutes. And then, at one point, one eyewitness said that they had thought that maybe the bridge had, pinned the cars down, because the only thing that he was able to see from where he was a semi truck that was in the water floating downstream. And the truck driver was standing on the cab of the truck, begging for help.
That's, horrific.
And he had, a driving buddy with him who was strapped in and wasn't able to get out.
No.
Yeah. Aww. So out of 31 cars that fell, there were 64 people, and 46 did not make it out.
I was about to ask, and I did not expect that big of a ratio.
Yeah.
Holy wow.
46 people died, and 2 of the people were never recovered from the water. So I'm just going to very quickly go through the list of the 46 people who were killed in this collapse. I'm probably not going to say their names right. I'm just going to list them off real fast. Albert Elder, Julius Bennett, Leo Blackman, Christy Boggs, Margaret Boggs, and Christy and Margaret, that was the man from earlier that we were talking about. That was his wife and his daughter. Hilda Byrus, Kimberly Byrus, Melvin Cantrell, Thomas Cantrell, Donna Casey, Cecile Counts, Horace Creams, Harold Winston, Alonzo Darst, Alma Duff, James Hawkins, Robert Head, Forrest Higley, Alva Lane, Thomas Lee, George Harold, Darlene Mays, Gerald McManus, James Richard, James Franklin, James Timothy, Frederick Dean, Ronnie Jean, Nora Isabel, Doris Northrup, James Pullen, Leo Sanders, Ronald Sims, Charles Smith, Oma Smith, Denzel Taylor, Glenna Taylor, Robert Towne, Victor Turner, Marvin Wilmsley, Lillian Wedge, Paul Wedge, James White, Catherine Bias, and Maxine Turner. And those last two, Catherine and Maxine, were the two that were never recovered. And to this day, this is the deadliest bridge collapse in US history.
I asked you earlier, I was like, why is the bridge collapsing a trigger? I was just thought it was just the bridge fell. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was bridge fell plus tons of fatalities and horrific,
46 people.
Kind died. Of makes me think of that scene in Fantastic Four when the bridge starts
sucking
stuff in.
Yeah. It's rough. President Johnson assembled a task force of bridge safety to identify the problem, and they found that there was a very small stress crack in one of the I-beams, and that's what caused the entire collapse. Literally one tiny little fracture caused the entire thing, and they said that the bridge, it folded in on itself like a deck of cards.
What the heck?
Right? And so after that day, after the bridge collapsed, Mothman was never seen again. So people believe that he was there to try to warn the townspeople.
What?
So
Mothman.
Now I have, that's really all of the story that I have. But there are theories that say no, Mothman didn't exist and it was actually this thing. My girlfriend has basically a degree in birds. So I asked her, and so she's going to debunk these theories for us. Are you ready?
Okay.
So
yeah.
Some people claim that Mothman was actually a giant crane, which, okay, admittedly, first of all, the crane's beautiful. She's so pretty. I'll post a picture of him. And it's bananas big. It's pretty big, but not as big as Mothman was. And Redacted said that they get the size of a 10 to 12 year old, and they're not usually in West Virginia, but it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that they would maybe be lost in West Virginia while they were migrating. But they also don't get 6 to 7 feet tall with a 10 feet wingspan, you know?
Right. Mothman is not crane-esque.
Right. And then she also said that,
not to be this person, but aren't cranes usually really light color? They're white, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And so this other one is a whooping crane. And she said that of the two cranes, this one's the bigger one, so it would be more likely this one. But not only were they white and weren't gray or brown, but they also did not stand 10 feet tall. And they were so endangered at that point. In 1980, there were only 15 known of these kinds of cranes.
That makes me feel like they knew where all 15 of those were.
Exactly. And very rare that one of them would have been in West Virginia anyway. And then another thing that goes around, and it's possible that you have seen this picture. I'm going to show you this picture because I feel like it goes around a lot of people being like, oh, it was actually this. So this picture, and I'll post it on the Instagram. It goes around.
I'm not familiar with it. Sorry, not I cut out. I was like, no, I don't know it.
No, you're good. I could see you. So they say that this is a Thunderbird, but that's not a thing. Thunderbirds don't seem to be a thing. And that picture that I just showed Kate and that I will post on the Instagram, a lot of like that gets brought around of saying like that's a Thunderbird. But Redacted says that the picture is actually a model of an ancient eagle that used to live in New Zealand.
That's cool. And your GF is very impressive.
She is so smart. I texted her and I was like, can I pick your brain for a second about birds? And she was like, stoked. So thank you for letting me pick your brain and letting me use you as a source on here. Anyway, that's the end of that. In conclusion, it was absolutely Mothman. And Point Pleasant now hosts the Mothman Festival every September, which we need to go to. I want to go to Mothman Festival so bad.
Shouldn't it be in like
started in 2002? What?
Shouldn't it be later for like the bridge collapse? Why September?
Unclear. It's just in September. It started in 2002 and they have the best Mothman statue. It's so fun. I love it. I'll post a picture of the Mothman statue too.
When are we going?
I'm ready to go whenever, my dude. And they made him look at that. They made him look so angry. My Mothman tattoo.
It looks like a butterfly.
I texted my tattoo artist, Coley, and I was like, picture this. Mothman, but cute. And this is what I've ended up with.
I love Coley. She's a visionary.
Also, truly, she really is. Hi, Coley. And also, My Favorite Murder did a really good case on Mothman. And they have this guy named Nick Terry who animates some of their episodes. And I'm going to send you a link. But like everyone should go watch it. Just like go on YouTube and do Mothman Nick Terry and it'll pop right up because it's hilarious. And it's exactly how I picture Mothman to be.
I love that.
Anyway, that's it. That's the end of Spooktober for this week.
I liked that. I like Mothman and I liked your explanation.
It took a lot of convincing to get Kate to let me do Mothman on this podcast.
It did not. You literally sent me a text and said, I want to do Mothman. And I said, okay.
No, this time. But when I first mentioned wanting to do Mothman eventually, you were like, that's not true crime.
It's not. I stand by that. So, but it was still fun.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm impressed with it. Favorite. You do great cases regardless of how not true crime they are.
Leave me alone.
No.
I was just trying to keep it spooky-ooky.
And you did it. I'm spooked. Thank you. The moth, the man, the moth, the legend.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
That was pretty good. Oh, Lord. Anyway, that's all I have for you guys. Thank you so much for listening to see pictures from this very impressive story I just did. You can follow our Instagram.
At Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can join our Facebook group.
Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can follow our Twitter.
At Under True Crime. We mixed it up a little.
Yeah, we sure did. You can send us an email.
At Under the Influence of True Crime at gmail.com.
And you can also rate, review, and subscribe.
Anywhere you listen to your podcasts, my guy.
And you know what else you can do? Join us right back here next week for some more spooky tales. Bye.
Nothing. I was 30 years unborn.